At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Damn, you got a fat ass. But enough about that big old butt of yours. This is comedian Mike Rainey from Porch Fest 2024. And my homeboy Alan Aldridge was gracious enough to let me speak to you for a moment about my new wicker crime novel. That's right, you heard me. New wicker crime novel that is guaranteed to be the funniest, most fucked up thing you read all summer. The story revolves around two lovable losers named Fats and Tommy, whose lives revolve around getting fucked up, sucking fat tits, and the 2 months out of the year where they get to work at Halloween Adventure. Unfortunately, on their last day of work, they are erroneously accused of their boss's murder and have to spend the rest of the night running across town trying to fraudulently cash a check, which will give them the funds to get out of Delco or will put them in jail for the rest of their lives. This book has something for everybody. It has murder. It has stolen ATV chases. It has drug abuse. It has schizophrenic maniacs who live behind 7-Eleven smearing shit in the faces of crooked cops. It has obese Arby's managers getting their asses eaten at the end of a long shift. I promise you, if you are a degenerate like I am, you will love this book. That's Delco Dirtball, available now at onperks.com, which is onperks.com. Get ready for Porch Talk.
Hit this record button. Whew. Well, I've had a series of shitty days.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
This life? Yeah, dude. And you know how it is when life is just repeatedly kicking you in the balls.
Yeah, and you feel like Job. And you're like, why me?
No, I'm not even worried about the why me. I mean, I get that part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, I've been there, where it's just like one thing after another.
Yeah, so yeah. I think this coming weekend will be, Sunday will be the first day I've had off in 2 weeks.
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was the downward spiral. So, I worked Saturday, and I was supposed to do 8 to 4 at my job in Starville. And then I was going to work 5 to 9 at Monson's. And so I left a little early Saturday morning, and I was like, "Well, I'm gonna go have my truck serviced. I'm gonna get the oil changed and just get it maintenance on before I go get my Intoxilock on it."
Right.
Well, the service center I always go to, I figured, and I didn't think anything about it. I mean, it makes total sense. But they close at noon on Saturday.
Oh, what the fuck? What kind of shop open? Because they probably don't even open till 8.
Right.
So, what kind of... Also, too, can I ask and I don't mean this insulting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... But it is a personal question. You don't change your own oil?
Man, I quit doing that years ago.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. it's like grass or anything else, man. It's like I've done it enough to where I don't want to never do it again.
Well, I mean, if you can pay for the convenience, okay, you know, I mean, why not?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like, changing the oil on those Tacomas, it is, it's stupid easy, because the oil filter's on top.
Right.
So, I mean, you get underneath, drain the plug, filter's up top, you cut your little bottle open to catch all that excess, and put the new filter in, boom, you're done.
Now, I forget, is the Tacoma... Because I know the 4Runners are where it's an actual, like, full oil filter. But is it one of those ones where it's, like... Because I know Kias do this, where it's, like, it's just the cap, and then there's the filter actually inside it. You know what I'm talking about? Where it doesn't have the metal exterior, it just has the filter, and you replace the O-ring?
No, it's a... This is a legit filter. I have never seen what you're describing.
Yeah, so, like, on most Kias... Like, they'll have a topside oil filter, but, like, instead of, like, so, I know the 4Runners, and I guess the Tacomas, too, I just can't ever remember changing oil in one, but, like, they have, like, the full metal filter, like, just like you would do with any other car, you know, but Kia, to save money, and Chevy started doing this, it pisses me off, but to save money, instead of having the full, like, in the metal casing filter, it is a plastic cap that sits on top of the engine. You undo that, and then it's just the filter itself.
Huh.
So you replace that, and then on the plastic cap, there'll be an O-ring, and you have to replace the O-ring each time you replace it.
Oh, and that's got to be aggravating with the O-ring.
It actually ain't too bad. Like, the main thing that gets me is, like, so sometimes, like, because nobody, especially people that drive Kias, I'm sorry, but, I mean, like, they never get their oil changed when it's supposed to. So what happens is that filter will actually fuse to the fucking block, and then it's a pain in the ass to get that filter off because they're, like, you know, 15,000 miles over when they should have had an oil change.
Yeah.
So, like, trying to pry that off is way worse than trying to get that O-ring off.
But, yeah, man, so when I was probably 12 or 13, like, my grandpa, shade tree mechanic, right, he had a factory job, and then on the weekends and on his time off, do you remember those huge satellite dishes people used to have in their yards?
I sure do.
I mean, so he would install those and, like, give you the channels, and that's what he would do on the side. And, you know, if I was hanging out with him on the weekend or, like, after school, if that's where I took the bus, you know, I was with him working. And so, man, like, routine maintenance on lawnmowers, weed eaters, vehicles. Yeah, man, I changed my own oil in my vehicles until I was about 26. And then I said, yeah, I'm going to find me a shop that I trust, and I'm just going to let them handle it.
Hey, as long as you don't take it to Express Oil.
No. So, strangely enough, dude, like one of our best musicians in Columbus, he used to be a mechanic at Express, so I would go to that one. But I would, you know, go to his bay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, so what's weird about Express Oil is, like, if you actually have, like deep engine, like, actual work that has to be done, like, they hire ASE-certified mechanics. Like, the actual mechanics that they have are worth a fuck. But the lubies that they have just, like, out in the bay aren't worth a fuck, man. Like, I worked at Express Oil for probably 4 or 5 months, and, like, I'm the new guy, and I'm having to, like, teach people shit. Because I'm like, no, that's not how you do that. What do you, like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't, like, yeah, one of my best friends growing up, his dad, he had a shop out back. And, like, there were a lot of times, like, later in life after my grandfather had passed, I would take my vehicle over there to work on it. I mean, they had, you know, a shop where you could lift it up and had all the tools you would possibly need. And of course, they were Chevy guys, and I was driving a Ford Ranger at the time. So you know, you had to let them get off all their Ford jokes.
Right.
But yeah, man. Like, so I mean, and hell, I mean, last time that I had a blowout on my Tacoma, my dad was with me. We had a blowout on a dirt road, and he even commented. He was like, "That may have been the fastest tire change that I've ever sat through." I was like, it was raining, and yeah, I was trying to get the heck up out of Dodge, man.
That's something that I need to invest in. I don't have a spare tire, and I feel like that's going to come and bite me in the ass.
Eventually it will, man. Because, really? I mean, that particular tire that I had changed, you know, it's the exact same size, and it's just a spare. But it was a little bit dry rotted, so I didn't ride it very long. So I mean, it's one thing to have one, but it's another thing to take care of it.
Yeah, that's very true. Because you forget about it. Because you go, all my other tires are good. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. So, well, we're 8 minutes in. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. Fire Camino is here with us, and this is becoming a regular. Hope y'all have been enjoying catching up with Fire Camino on the weekly basis. The last episode I wasn't even on, so it's good to be back on the show. But yeah, dude, so that mechanic shop closed at noon on Saturday, and they call me at 11:45, and they tell me, "Hey, we're closing in 15 minutes. Are you going to pick up your truck or not?" And I was like, "Well, I can't be there in 15 minutes. I was like, "Is there any way that y'all could stay a little bit? And I'll be right there." And they, absolutely not. And I was like, "Well, I guess I got free parking for the weekend."
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude. So I was supposed to, and I had to call Monson. And it's like, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon at this point, and I have like...
Did they not hide your key somewhere?
I mean, they had the truck locked up in the bay. I mean, it was locked up in the shop.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had pretty pristine parking for the weekend. So I called Monson. I was like, "Look, man, I know we talked earlier this morning, and, you know, we were kind of hands in the air whether or not I was going to be able to be there. Then I committed to being there, and now I have to tell you that I don't have a way out of Starkville, so I'm not going to make it." And he fires back a text a little bit later, and he was like, "Well, we need to have a little discussion about this." And I was like, "I'm going to tell you where I'm at, and as it stands right now, I was, as crazy as things are with my main job here in Starkville, it may be in both of our best interests if you just take me off the menu right now, or the schedule." And you know, he takes back. He's like, if that's what you believe to be the best," and I was, "Unfortunately, I mean, that may be the best move right now, because my hands are tied. I'm working every day of the week, and you know, even the days and the evenings that you're good enough to give me is really, it's going to be a strain for me to get there, because I'm always working over here, and it's not fair to you, you know."
Well, because you want to provide the best work possible. I mean, that's like, if you're going to do anything, do it the best of your ability. That's,
well, I mean, you know, and not even that, like an evening shift, it starts at 5, and if I'm not leaving Starkville to 5, I mean, they're in a bind for 30 minutes until I'm there, you know.
Right.
And
right.
And that's not fair to anybody that's working that day, and it's, you know, it's just, and that's what I told him. I was, you know, until I can get some normalcy over here, it may be best. And like, long story short, Monson.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're trying to be fair to him.
Yeah, and he calls me the next day, and he was like, "Did you see the upcoming schedules?" And I was like, "I did." And I thought about it, and I'm not going to take you off the schedule. We're just going to take it day by day. And he's, you know, "Give me as much heads up as you possibly can." But he was like, I still want you in the kitchen, and I still want you to be there as much as you can be. So let's just move forward this way." And I'm going to tell you, Josh, I've been on and off with Monson over the past 5-6 years now, and he's helped me through two times to where I was in between jobs.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, since the day we met, when I had him on Porch Talk, he and I immediately connected. And man, you talk about any time that I'm in a bind financially, Munson has always provided a way for me to get my bills paid and, you know, keep my head on top of the water.
No, Munson's a great guy. You know, he really is. Like, I mean, fuck, he gave me a guitar. Like, I mean, he's a really good dude, you know?
Yeah, he's a great guy. But, yeah, man, and so that really, that threw a kink in the whole weekend because I was going to get those Wilder speakers tested. I haven't been able to be on the Man Up show in 2 weeks now. And that's a bummer. Like, I never think about, like, those, that's almost like golf, or you know how you and Jesse go for those hikes?
Yeah.
It's like whenever you get knocked out of a rhythm to where you have whatever that thing is that you do to kind of deprogram and kind of reboot, you don't really reboot, and so you're just it just piles up on top of you.
Yeah.
So, but
no, I mean, I get it, because I work a lot. Like, I work about 60, 70 hours a week. And, like, one off day really ain't that great because, like, you just have enough time to, like, do your chores around the house. But, like, as far as, like, being a human being and, like, just being able to, like, get some rest and go, like, okay, here I am. Here's what I'm doing. You know, like, it's hard to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
You need time to just rest. Like, truthfully, every person needs time to just rest and be, like, you know, recover. Because, no matter if you're a fucking barista, or if you do what I do, or if you're a mechanic, or whatever, like, you need time to recuperate.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. And I mean, I'm seeing that because I just had mistakes and things out of character that were continuing to happen, and like it just kept stacking up. And last night was probably about the best rest that I've had in weeks. And I had taken off work this morning to go get the Intoxalot put on my truck. And man, the whole day I was like, okay, we're having another one of these days. And so I showed up at the shop. I was like, hey, I'm here for the appointment to have this thing installed. And he was like, well, they haven't sent it to me yet, and it's on the docket.
Dude, come on, man.
Yeah, and this is the second time this has happened to me now.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, hold on, it's on the docket. UPS is supposed to be shipping it. And I was, brother, I only took half the day.
Dude, like, listen, if UPS is shipping it, you're fucked.
Well, and I just told him, I was like, this is where I'm at. This is the second time this has happened. First time here at your shop. And I know this is totally out of your hand. Can you give me an ETA? And he's like, I don't know what time it's going to be here. But he said, when it gets here, I can get one of my guys immediately on it. And so I can call you when it gets here, let you know that they're working on it. And then he said, an hour and a half later, you get your wheels back. And I was like, I've got till 1 o'clock. You're going to be able to make that happen. He's like, probably going to be more like 2 or 3. And I was like, let me make a phone call. Let me see if that's going to be okay.
Right.
Anyway, get all that cleared. And, well, the shop's not far from my house, so I decided to walk back to the house. And, of course, I left my house key on my truck key ring, so... Thank God. So, I mean, yeah, thank God the roommate was still here, so I was able to get back into the house. But I called the shop at 10 just to kind of get an update, and he was like, they still haven't come, but what I did, I had a spare on the shelf, and we're throwing that one in now. And he said, I'll call you immediately when it's done. And I was like, all right. And he said, it's probably going to be an hour. And so, you know, I was like, well, it took me 15 minutes to walk there. in 45 minutes, I'll start walking.
Right.
And, man, shout out to that guy. Like, I'm not going to shout out the business or the dude's name, because, I mean, he may not want that out there, but you want to talk about a man of the people. So, after it gets installed, the mechanics, they walk you through, like, the do's and don'ts and how to operate the device, right? Because it's a pain in the ass. And he was like, man, I get it. You probably got to go to the MASAP and you're doing all this just to get, you know, to keep your license from being suspended, and you have to do 120 days of this. Am I right? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly it. And he said, okay, so when it comes to calibration, you have to bring it back to me once a month. You'll have to do that three more times after today, and then it'll give you a heads up if it's 3 days out. He said, do not let it get down to zero, because that thing will not let your truck crank after that.
Oh, fuck.
And he said, but if that was to happen, he said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but he said, just unhook that cable and just get that thing to me somehow, and I'll recalibrate it, and then I'll show you how to hook it back up in your truck. And he was like, because, and like, he kept on like going through like just little simple do's and don'ts and things of that nature. To a point to where he was like, you know, this company that does these breathalyzers, it's all about the money. And so if you call them with any issues, their immediate answer is always going to be for you to have it towed here to my place, and then they're going to charge you anywhere from $60 to $200 for whatever you said was going wrong, and it may not even be your fault. So he said, don't tell them shit. If you have any issues, just bring it to me. He said, because they're all about the money, and I think this whole crap is a money pit, and it's bullshit. And he was like, don't pay any extra out than you already have. I mean, this whole process has probably been stupid expensive for you already. And I was like, I've drained all my savings, man.
Yeah.
So, super cool guy. Shout out to that guy. And then I go, I mean, who hasn't had a wonderful experience at the DMV, right?
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm going to I have an Alabama license, and I'm with this interlock device, and since the DUI happened in the state of Mississippi, I have to get a restricted Mississippi license. And this is how good there's been failures on every part, but also, like, I thought with all the paperwork and all the explanations that I've been given, whether it be from the state trooper that booked me or the court system, the DMV the first time I went, like, there's no good information. And so it was a wasted trip to go down there just to be told, we can't help you today. And if you don't want to lose your Alabama license, your license is going to be suspended no matter what. But since you already got the breathalyzer, you already spent that money, here's are the hoops and rings that you're going to have to jump through to get a Mississippi restricted license. And brother, let me tell you, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, damn.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to have your original birth certificate. You have to have your original Social Security card. And I don't have a damn clue where that birth certificate is. So I've got to do some digging and call mom and see if I can figure that out. But, and then on top of, I'm sure they're going to charge a pretty penny. And then, you know, back to a good old DMV experience, something that should take 5 minutes is probably going to take 2 hours.
Well, I mean, that's how it always is. Like, any government stuff where you got to deal with, like base level, what do you call that? Not bureaucracy. Maybe it is bureaucracy, but, like, just, any small government stuff, like the DMV, the post office, the you know, going to get a fishing license, like anything like that. Such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's like there's so much stuff of where I'm like, why can I not just do this online?
Yeah. Yeah, man, totally. I mean, even that, I mean, I think the fishing license thing in some counties you can now. And I called a friend of mine. He had moved all his information from Alabama to Mississippi, which is something I don't want to do. I had no interest in doing it. I would almost take the suspended license for 120 days if I hadn't, you know, agreed to a restricted license. But I didn't. Once again, a total lapse, a failure on they did not communicate like how big of a pain in the ass that this was going to be, and maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't know, or maybe it's like you said. It's like, well, I mean, it's a government building and it's full of government jobs, and so it's kind of meant to be a total pain in the dick.
Well, I think truthfully, from hearing about your experience, I think that they should redo. You know how, like, when you're in high school, you have, like, driving class? Did you have driving class in high school?
Yeah. Yeah, we had driver's ed.
Yeah. So, I think in driver's ed, instead of showing, like, horrific car crashes or, like, you know, all the stuff that could happen, like, when you drink and drive, it's like, ooh, this is all, you know. It's like, no, look at how much of a pain in the dick it's going to be to just do the right thing and do all the legal stuff. Like, that would deter me. Like, killing a family of four at a stoplight doesn't bother me too much. But the fucking having to deal with just base level municipality bureaucracy, I'm done. I'm like, fuck it. I ain't drinking and driving. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, this whole thing. I mean, it's been ridiculously expensive. It's nothing about it is smooth, and you know everybody involved in this shit does it every single day, but it's like a brand new day to them.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. I think, like, with a lot of, like, small, like, I'm struggling to find, I guess, bureaucracy, but, like, any small town government stuff of where it's like, why is this so hard? You've had to do this 1,000 fucking times.
Uh-huh.
Like, why do I have to jump through hoops to get a fucking pistol permit?
Amen, man. Amen.
Or a fishing license. Or a fucking, like, basic, like, bare bones shit. Like, I'm, you know. It was like taxes. Taxes piss me off so much because it's always like, well, you got to do all this math and you got to have all this paperwork, da 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 da. And I'm like, just send me a bill, I'll send you the money, and we're done.
Wouldn't that, yeah, because, like, okay, now you can either file your own taxes and take a chance, or you can have an accountant. And the IRS already knows the magic number, but they won't tell you. You have to figure it out.
Right.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah, any of that, dude. I could go on and on and on and on about all of that, but this whole racket is, like, totally changed my entire perspective of the whole rigmarole. And so, like, I'm about to get off the soapbox, so in the future, if there are any listeners out there who ever gets a DUI in the state of Mississippi, reach out to me and I can tell you pretty much tit for tat everything that's going to happen to you and how many times you're going to be bent over without Vaseline.
Don't drink and drive and always use a condom. That's the porch talk way.
Whew, I mean, it is certainly now. It wasn't before, but it is now.
Right, right. We've learned from our mistakes, and here we are.
That's right. That's right. And just above all else, just avoid the police entirely if you can. They do not have your best interests in heart.
No, they're there to protect private interests and make money off of you. So fuck them.
That's what it appears to be.
Except for coal. except for Cole. Cole's cool.
Oh, you gonna give you gonna give him an out, huh?
Do what?
You gonna give him an out, huh?
No, I just don't want to burn a bridge. Come on, he likes Elden Ring. You can't be that bad.
Yes, you got a point there. Yeah, that's that would be something I would be interested in being able to do again. I haven't been able to touch that in a while. I got the open mic Thursday, and I've totally neglected. I mean, it's just totally neglected all the extracurricular things I would usually be doing.
Because you have live stuff. I mean, that's just like a thing. Like I don't play that many shows, and people are always like, "Well, why don't you play more shows?" I'm like, "Cause I work 60 fucking hours a week. Like, I don't like. I would love to, but like, I can't. You know."
Yeah.
Like I would, you know, there's things that you let go by the wayside, but it's not that like people are always like, "Well, you prioritize other things." I'm like, "Yeah, because that other thing." Make sure I'm able to eat. So I like that other thing a lot. I don't like going to work, but I like being able to, you know, have deodorant. And like, you know.
Yeah, just simple things like not stinking and not going hungry.
Right. You know, I like gasoline in my car.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, dude. Just with that, I think I was thinking about it today because I was listening to an old Unwritten Law album.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the album cover is just perfect. I would probably just, like, do something very similar to that. And I'm just going to take this, well, I guess we'll go all the way back to May 16th when it all went down to walk it to, like, 120 days later to when I finally... My license is not restricted anymore, and all the bullshit is finally behind me. But I'm hoping, and I'm doing my best to write every day, and we'll have some of it cataloged on here on the show. But to come up with some really cool artwork and do my best to put an album out just about this period of time. Maybe it'll save some people a lot of money and a lot of stress.
You should hit up Taylor to record it. That'd be cool.
It would be. Speaking of which, he dropped a new song this morning on his YouTube. Totally worth checking out. You can go to Taylor Hollinsworth on YouTube and go check that out. It's going to be on one of the many new albums he's got coming out. That dude, the hardest working man in the land.
He really is, man. Speaking of which, great song, by the way. Fucking, I listened to that today at work.
When I got the notification, I immediately went and listened to it. Let me, I'm blanking on the name.
Never Can Be Lonely.
Never Can
Never
Be Lonely.
Can Be Lonely.
That's right. Great song. Yep. If you were at Porch Fest or at the Toast Party at Munson & Brothers, you probably heard it live and in person because he played it both times.
That was funny because so he's changed the album cover from what it was.
Well, that may not be the new album cover. That may just be like artwork for that
cover for the single.
Maybe, but it is, I did notice the album title on it, so it may be a complete change.
Yeah, I think it may be, I don't know, because it originally had, like, his art for the album cover, but I like this cover a lot, but the song's great. I've heard it a thousand times, so I wasn't like, oh, you know, I cannot think of the name of it, but there's a song on this next record that fucking kicks so much ass. I cannot wait for this next Hollinsworth record.
Yeah, like, me neither, dude. Just the next four are going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, but, well, that's what kills me, too, because he's got songs, like, so I've heard all the of the record that's about to come out with Dialback Sound. I like it a lot. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a kick-ass record.
Yeah.
But there's so many songs that he's playing live now. And I'm like, oh, is that on the new record? He's like, no, it's on the next one. I'm like, fuck. So I got to wait again.
I think he said it last time he was here on the show. We talked a little bit about that because he had just played the Toast Party at Munson's.
Yeah.
And I was, you play a lot of new material tonight, man. Is that going to be on the new record that's coming out? And he was like, actually, I've already moved on from that record. Like, I'm already, like, playing songs from the upcoming record. And I'm like, huh, what a wild place to be at.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how prolific he is. Like, he writes so much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got to start, even if it's just throwing them up on YouTube or Bandcamp, man. I have so many songs right now that, whether even if they're just like bedroom recorded, I need to go ahead and have them somewhere, and then maybe put them together to make an album. But I do want to take some time to do some projects like the one I was describing earlier.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a weird spot because, like, the next record I do, like, I want it to be really good. Like, I really don't want to fuck it up. But I'm afraid, like, me trying not to fuck it up is keeping me from just doing it.
Yeah.
But, like, I have a shit ton of songs that I think are good songs, like, good enough to, like I play them live and shit, but I'm like, I don't know if they're record good. And I want to get to the point where I can just, like, get past this record where it's like, all right, put out whatever. And then I can just write songs and put them out and not have to worry about, like, oh, well, how will this perform and how will this do? It's like, no, don't focus on that. Just focus on writing a good fucking song, you know?
That is a way to look at it, man. I know, like, even with the EP that I put out years ago, had five songs on it. Three of them I still play live. Two of them I've never played live. Like, they're a record song. It's not anything that I would ever play live, but also there are songs that I would only play live that I'm not really interested in recording.
Yeah.
That's
I get that.
That's interesting. I've never really thought about it like that. But I mean, like, a lot of the songs, and there are some songs of mine that I won't play unless I have a full band.
I get that.
And I think those are the songs that I'm really not interested on a recording, because, like, maybe on the recorded stuff it's just me and my guitar. Or, you know, if I have someone like Taylor who could help, that I trust, yeah, we'll throw bass or some drums on there, but I'm not about to hire people out to do that for damn sure.
Right. Well, that's what, like, a lot of people don't understand of where, like, you know, you put something up on Spotify, you know, now granted, like, there have been times where it's like my last record, I recorded it on a $15 tape player, you know, it was not any expense, but, like, people don't understand how fucking expensive studio time and all this shit is, where it's like, you know, like, this is not cheap. Like, if you want people to play on your stuff, like, even being like, oh, I want a little bit of guitar on this or whatever, like, that's money. Every fucking thing you hear, as a listener, you're casual about it, but, like, as a musician, you're like, that
costs
me money, you know.
Yeah, dude, and the returns are so low. And granted, I think Spotify probably does pay better than all the other streaming apps, and it's still not a good rate. Maybe it'll get better in the future, but yeah, let's just say round number, you had a 1,000 loyal listeners. That's not going to generate, but $3-4 a month, maybe.
Well, it's like I've said this before on this show. Like, don't do it for the money, though.
Oh no, but I mean, just kind of to your point is.
But you're not going to make money.
Right. God. Yeah, I mean, think about, like, man, yeah, y'all should totally go to the studio, da-da-da-da-da, and you should totally get so-and-so to play on this song, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, just that one song, that 3.5-minute song that you really enjoyed, and you really had a great idea about who should play on it and this and that. Well, that cost me $2,500.
Right.
Or, you know, probably not that. I'm just, well, with inflation, yeah, who knows?
I mean, it'll probably be like $300. Like, truthfully, that song is probably $300.
Yeah.
You know, and to them, it's a little 3-minute song, and you're like, each minute was $100.
And then, I mean, you're always gonna have like it's my favorite critique is just critique in general. I think we've talked about it in ad nauseum in the past, but when non musical people give you critique on music, I always find that incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. It's like, what do you do for a living? You're a teacher. Look, let me come in and I'll start telling you how to instruct the class and like how to lay out your class and to do lesson plans. I mean, obviously you're so good at my job.
Well, no, I mean, like I've had this problem in bands. Where I've been in bands in the past, and they're like, you should write songs this way or do it that way. And it's like, then you write the fucking song. Oh, wait, you can't write songs. You'll know how. Like, not being an asshole, but you can't write a song. That's why you have me as the songwriter. That's why I'm in the band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, nothing pisses you off more because it's like, don't tell me how to do my fucking job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know? It's always, It's always something with that, man. It's that same thing to where if you have 99 compliments, it's going to be the one criticism that always sticks out. I mean, and it doesn't matter, like, you could have that 99%, but it's always that 1% that'll drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really will.
Well, dude, I feel like I've been up on my soapbox this whole time, man. What's been up with you? What you been up to?
I'll give you 3 guesses.
I'm gonna say work.
Fucking work, man. Working like crazy. Also, I want to publicly come out and apologize in advance.
Okay.
We got, I don't want to dox myself either, but we got the contract at work. We're making all the I voted stickers for Alabama, you know, the ones that are shaped like Alabama and says I voted on it.
Okay.
So I'm running those, and I want to apologize for every fucking cringy Instagram story, like, ooh, look at me, I went and did a thing. Because I feel like I propagated, or at least played a part, because I made the fucking stickers, so... I want to say I'm sorry.
Man, I can't wait to those. So while I was working at the shipyard down in Pascagoula, I had my hands on 2 different destroyers, and I always felt that because I've been anti-war my whole life. I always thought it was a big racket, and it's all about dollars. They don't care about the blood. And like I've never supported any of the fucking things that we've done, because I mean after you look back a few years, you see what it was really about, and you're like, yeah, we were over there bombing the shit out of them for oil. That's great. And I always felt real bad about like all the welds and all the electrical shit that I had done on those boats. It's like, my work is probably going to blow up a little innocent village over some oil one day.
Hey, wait a minute. Not to cut off your point, but you know how to weld?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What do you do? MIG stick? Like, what's your...
Stick, man. I wish I knew MIG and TIG.
Ah, damn it.
What is it?
Man, I'm so pissed. All right, so I came from Cared, right? All right, so a little inside baseball for the listeners. Fucking today, when I stopped at the gas station, I bought those, like, Big Mouth fucking Coors Light beer bottles, because the last two fucking episodes that I've been on, I fucking pissed my pants fucking trying to pee in the water bottles. So I was like, oh, I know, I'll get the Big Mouth fucking Coors Lights. It'll be easier to get my little dick in. And what do? I fucking piss myself again.
Three times straight now.
This is three times in a row I pissed myself on porch dog.
Well, don't feel bad. You just surpassed me, but I've done it twice.
Damn.
Yeah, I done it. I was doing this one on the phone. I think it's still on YouTube. I don't think I got a flag over it, but I had Seth Martin. He had just left Athens, Georgia, and he was in Nashville, and this is when he put out his album, Saturday Morning Cartoons. And toward the end of the interview, man, like, I think I had done down like three or four beer, and I was about to piss myself. And I just told Seth, I was like, I'm not stopping the interview. You're going to the bathroom with me while I piss. And he's like, I'm totally fine with that. And so I just laid the telephone up on top of the toilet, and you could hear every bit of it in all its glory. So, I mean, that technically wasn't pissing in my pants, but I definitely pissed on the air. And then,
also, too, I haven't fully pissed myself. It's just, like, the little dribble. But it's still annoying, because you're a goddamn...
And I'll tell you, like, whether it's the big Gatorade bottle, water bottle, whatever it is, and this is happened because the two times, I mean, I guess that was... I guess it's been three times. You were on one time when I had done it, to where I needed to pee. Yeah. I needed to pee real bad. And I didn't want to stop the conversation because the conversation was going really well. And I only had one bottle, and it was like the Dumb and Dumber situation, to where it's filling up, pass me another bottle. And I didn't.
But that's still, you had to see that movie.
And I did not have another bottle. So, like, I had to get up and finish anyway.
Because
so,
I had to kill time. Yeah. I had to kill time while you were... You know.
And welcome to our favorite segment of Piss Talk.
Piss Talk.
it's the new show of In the Show. It's where we take 5 minutes to talk about healthy bladders.
Yeah, talk about us pissing, people who have pissed on us, you know.
Oh, that's the next segment is Golden Showers, everybody. Are you ready?
You know when you're on one of them coke benders and you can't get hard, but you're like, well, I gotta do something, you know. So,
yeah. Doug Stanhope, everybody.
but we've all peed on people. It ain't great, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time it happens on the coast after a jellyfish sting, but... I'm here to tell you, if anything in the ocean gets after you, you just pee on it, it'll be just fine.
No, it doesn't happen on the... No, it happens in a Motel 6 in Montgomery, Alabama. You just did a poetry open mic.
Yeah, totally. To the balls. Totally. I remember it happened to me in I was in the Florence, Alabama area, and you know, that river eventually runs to the ocean. So, I mean, we were close enough. And oddly enough, I think it was a hotel instead of a motel, but very, very similar story.
God bless Motel 6s. They're disgusting, but like any motel that allows me to still smoke in the room,
oh,
good on my book.
Hey, man, dude. There's more of the. I've always been a huge proponent of the Red Roof Inn.
Yeah, a good Red Roof.
And by good Red Roof is like their going rate is like, let's just say, because the one I've when we were going down to Mobile, we stayed at a Red Roof Inn one weekend while we were looking for apartments or somewhere to live. And it was in a fairly shady part, but I guess by the vehicle we drove and the way that we looked, we were hood adjacent. Like, they knew, it's like, what are we going to get from this guy? Like, two quarters, he ain't got shit.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But right. when I had my family come down for the wedding, they checked out in the middle of the night because they were scared for their damn life. And I was like, I've stayed there many times. It's fine. And they were like, yeah, but it is you, and you're kind of trashy. And I was like, you got a point there. You got a point there.
Man, I remember one time I stayed in a Red Roof Inn. I think it was Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, I've been to that one. It's a great one.
Yeah, fucking, I remember, it wasn't really that bad. Like, the room was pretty clean, everything. But when I went to go get the Continental Breakfast, you know how they have, like, the little, like, it'll have cereal, and then you, like, turn the little dial, and cereal comes out?
Oh, yeah.
And I went to go get Raisin Bran, I went and turned the fucking thing, and the cereal came out, so did a big goddamn roach. Oh,
man, look, you know, just a little extra protein, man.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm like, never mind. I'm not hungry anymore.
That's been some of my favorite episodes that we've done. We've done quite a few episodes out of the hotel, and I wouldn't even stay in there. Like, sometimes I would just show up at the hotel in the morning to do the episode and, you know, hit up whoever was going to be on the show, be like, hey, I'm here. And they was like, oh, great. Come on down downstairs. Just come in, take a right, and come have a continental breakfast with me. I was like, oh, perfect. And oddly enough, I've had some very similar things like that happen to where things look really good and promising until you just find something that you really didn't want to see.
Who has the best continental breakfast?
I'm probably going to say probably like the Holiday Inn and the Marriott's and all those guys. Unless you get on up to like more fancy shit.
I can't speak on more fancy shit, but a Comfort Inn, here's the big winner for me for Comfort Inn. They have real fucking eggs.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Like, you know how, like, you go and it's, like, that fucking fake, like, neon yellow plastic sheet, and they're like, it's an egg.
Man, stop throwing McDonald's under the bus, man. That's some old McDonald's eggs.
No, for real, because like it says fucking powdered bullshit. They probably put them in a microwave, you know. But like at a Comfort Inn, you can get a real fucking egg. And I'm like, I appreciate that.
Shout out to it, man. Yeah, I know exactly. Like there's a, and I go there for breakfast. They do a real good gravy biscuit. That's typically what I'll get. But I was looking at some of their other items, and I was looking at the eggs. And I just had to ask. I was like, y'all, that's something y'all mix up in the back with water and just throw in the microwave, ain't it? So I ain't supposed to tell you that, but that's exactly what it is. And I can tell by looking at it. That's not a damn egg.
That's fucking powdered eggs.
It's like, well, granted, it is impressive that we can do something like that, but whatever happened to just an egg?
Right. You know what? All right, fucking, like, listen, we're so fucked as a society as far as, like, how processed our foods are and shit, but, like, eggs are not that expensive. I get it, you want to get every bottom line out of anything you do in America, because it's like, oh, it's about making money. But it's like, don't sacrifice taste, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather pay more money and get a better quality item than get fucking dog shit for what I'm paying.
Man, I can't. Well, no, I don't really buy a whole lot of eggs, man. And if it's been a while, but if I can ever get over to Alabama, those little pockets where I'm from, man, all the people that I grew up with, they all have chickens now, and they'll send you home with like two or three dozens, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Jesse raises chickens, fucking my uncle raises chickens. I'm good on eggs, you know.
That's a good way to be. And it's so much better, too. Like, obviously, I mean, there is a buddy of mine. He'll come out to the open mic every now and then. Hell, you may have met him. He's an older guy. His name is Sean, but...
Oh yeah, I miss Sean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good little songwriter. He's been working on it for a while now. He came out to the most previous one and shared some new things that he was working on, and it was right around July 4th, and he did the Star Spangled Banner a cappella. He got a standing ovation on that. I mean, everybody was very patriotic about that. But anyway, first time I went over to his house. He was like, what do you want to do for lunch when you come over? And I was, you know, I was thinking, dude, a ham and cheese sandwich will a hit. And he was,
right.
No, dude, I've got a deep freeze full of a cow. He's, you can have a steak. I was like, well, let's do that. And, connected me with his cow guy. And so you can go to this farm, you can get a quarter cow, half cow, whole cow. That's the move.
Oh, it's, I mean, economically, it's so much cheaper to buy like a huge section. But you need one of them big ass deep freezers, though.
Yeah, that, I mean, that may be a problem people run into if you don't have a deep freeze. I mean, if you went and bought a half a cow, you're not going to be able to store that.
You know what's crazy? I learned this the other day. Those deep freezes, economic as fuck. Guess how much it costs a year to run a deep freeze?
I have no idea, Josh.
$8.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's it, in electricity. Yeah, literally, they're that economical. Those top loader, like the big fuckers that have the lid on top.
Mm-hmm.
It's $8 a year.
How about them apples? Learning something new here.
They're efficient as fuck. Like, the way they're built, like, they're really, you know.
That's great. Well, dude, anything else to
do? That's how you know we're getting old. We're talking about deep freezes.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's one thing I look forward to, like, as this show gets older, is just seeing where the conversations start going and the things that we get excited about.
We're like, look at that crown molding.
can you believe it? This house still has the popcorn on the ceiling there.
I don't know. It's little stuff.
Yeah, man. Anything else to add or subtract? Anything you'd like to plug? We're in the final minutes, Josh. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Anytime, man. Hey, listen. I'm always down to get shit-faced in my car and just talk about whatever. And so, like, that's why this show works. Like, truthfully, that's the magic of Fire Camino being on Porch Talk. Of where, like, you can just call me and I'm shit-faced after work and I'll just rant about anything.
Man,
whether it be deep freezes or DUIs or...
I wish I was in the same frame of mind, but I'm telling you, dude, those nothing to put the fear of having a beer in you. Like, if you just happen to need to go somewhere and car no go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. But I always drink at the house. Like, I'm not a go out and drink guy.
Well, that's the thing about it. What if I was to get carried away at the house and it somehow went over to the next morning? Then I just screwed the next day up for myself.
See, that's scary. That's because I know there's some fucking mornings when I get up to go to work, I'm blowing hot. Even though I'm not drunk, I am blowing hot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's another thing, just back to that mechanic, just for a second. He's like, dude, I smoke cigarettes and my wife hates it, so I have those, you know, those little Listerine tabs to freshen your breath up?
Yeah.
I use those, and he said, "I'll tell you a little something about these breathalyzers. If you use three of those, and then go try to crank your car, you're gonna fail." And he said, "If you use mouthwash in the morning, and if you don't rinse that mouthwash out of your mouth good, you're gonna fail." And check this out: with this device, every time you try to turn on your vehicle and you blow into that, and if it picks something up like that and it says you fail, it charges you $60 on your account.
Holy shit, really?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then...
All I've learned from this whole experience that you've had is, like, if I am drink driving and the blue lights light up behind me, I'm crashing the car.
I would not recommend that, but you know, yeah, just whatever you can do, just make good decisions out there, people. Yeah, this is
you're the cooler of the two.
I try to be, man. Try to be like I wanted to lose my head at the DMV today. I really did, but those sweet ladies didn't deserve it. Even though they were acting like it was a brand new day and they had never done it a day in their life.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, that's what I realized, like, about, like, so there's that episode of Porch Talk that came out today that didn't have you on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, you really need Alan there.
You
really need a cooler head to be like, hey, you know.
It's been a long time since there was an episode I wasn't on and I was curious to see how it would go. And I totally agree with that. There was only gas being thrown on flames instead of someone being there to, all right, let's calm her down.
there was a lot of tomfoolery.
Yeah, yeah. It did crack me up, like, toward the end when they were curious about how long they had went. And it was only at, like, the 40-minute mark. And... that did make me laugh a little bit because I was in the room with them. I was just producing it. And it just cracked me up because it felt like an hour and a half. And I was like, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing. But y'all did a show.
Well, it's like just recently you were like, all right, is there anything else we have to say? It's like you had it right on like the 53-minute mark. You were like, boom, we're in there. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know me, I'll go long because I'm drunk and I'll just rant, you know.
Oh, same here, dude. Like, I've got my finger on the pulse when it comes to to that hour mark. I know about where I'm at.
See, I'm like Rogan. I'm like, let's just go 3 hours. Fuck it.
I would totally do that, but I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever finished a 3-hour podcast episode. Like, that would be small chunks, and then I would forget what I had listened to in the previous, and it just kind of ruins the whole thing for me.
Fair enough.
But, you know, if we were going to do a 3-hour talk, I would want to just divide it up in 3 episodes.
I mean, it's more digestible, like, I don't know, because, like, truthfully, like, when I'm at work, like, there's a lot of, like, I listen to a fucking Eddie Bravo podcast, like, yeah, Alex Jones on, and I listened to that today, and it was 2 hours, but, like, since I work so long and long of shifts, like, it's just, like, it just goes, and you don't, like, even though it's a 2-hour long podcast, like, you don't really feel that way.
That's a good point, and it may just be because it's kind of a different media, but you know, some of my longer days in the truck, I've recently been trying to get into the Kill Tony show.
Yeah,
and you know, those are longer podcasts. You know, they'll go for 2.5 and 3 hours, and so yeah, if I start listening to one of those at 9, and around the time lunch is coming up, the episode is ending. And now that you mention it, I was like, I was fairly entertained that whole time, and I wasn't even thinking about the clock.
Well, that's kind of my thing with Rogan, where it's like, if it's an interesting enough conversation, I'm there for it. Because it's like, yeah, you don't see the fucking time go by because you're invested, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something where, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I've listened to podcasts before that have been 45-minute podcasts, but like, it feels like a slog.
Mm-hmm. That can definitely happen. Yeah. That can definitely happen.
It feels like 3 hours, but it's 45 minutes, you know.
And that is, I don't know. There is something to those coins, but if I'm at the point to where if it feels like an hour, I want it to be an hour, because I mean, that's what I'm into. Like, that's kind of why I'm listening to it. It's to pass the time.
Right.
And so like, if a 3-minute song feels like 6 minutes, that's not good.
No, it should always feel like less time than what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, well, it's like Motorhead. Motorhead's fucking great. Every one of their songs is 4 minutes, and it feels like one.
There you go.
You know, like, truthfully, like, you're right. Oh, shit, like, it's already over. Like, fucking the song Overkill, it has, like, 3 times where it's, like, a false stop. Like, you think it's the end of the song. And then they come back in with the drums and fucking guitar and whatever. And every time it ends, you go, oh, they're going to come back in again. And they don't, because it's the end of the fucking song. But in your mind, you're like, ah! Because you're so invested, you know.
I was going to ask for some music plugs, because I just realized that I haven't really been listening to anything, and I think that might be a good thing until I get Thursday behind me. So, you ever feel like that, to where you get to listening to other musicians, and then you kind of start emulating and kind of sounding like their style?
Yeah, definitely.
So I might just take a hiatus from music until Thursday. That way, I'll be coming in hot for the open mic.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, here's the thing: where it's like, there's certain times, like when I'm writing, like I want to listen to people that sound like me, because I can kind of like take from it and like learn.
Sure.
But then there are other times where it's like, I want something so polar opposite to what I do that, like, there's no way I'm pulling from it. And then even then, what's funny is you go, oh, I want something so polar opposite, but then you'll still pull stuff from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Susie Quattro and Pantera sound nothing like Fire Camino, but I still pull stuff from them.
I think that's the next thing I want to do is, you know, like Mark and some of the other guys I run with, they all play. And when it comes to, and we've been in those situations to where, like, over at somebody's house, there's enough instruments for everybody to play. and like they're all kind of listening to like the same kind of music, and they already know the songs, and I've never heard the songs before.
Yeah.
So I might just start taking cues up on that. It's like, what are y'all listening to? Let me try to get in that box for a little bit.
And also, I mean, I think that's like how you grow as a music. Like, that's the one thing I miss about, like, I used to work in Iron City. And so every night's a different band. So you're being a roadie, like, setting up lights, sounds, amps, whatever. And fucking, like, you get to hear stuff that you would never ordinarily listen to. Because, like, you know, every one of us is set in our ways where it's like, this is what we like. Like, for me, I like country and I like metal. Like, those are the two things I listen to the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to everything, you know. So every once in a while, it's like, yeah, an R&B band or a rapper or fucking, you know, EDM or fucking, you know. But, like, that job was perfect because, like, you had something new every single night, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, man. That is something that, probably pull up and fact check myself here, but that is something. I've been listening to quite a bit of Daft Punk.
Daft Punk's great.
It is. I mean, it's nice when you're driving down the interstate. I mean, you better watch your foot if you got a heavy one. You're gonna be speeding.
Have you ever listened to their live album from 2007?
I think you just. I think that's a pretty good plug. I believe I might check that out when we get down here.
Yeah, a live 2007 great Daft Punk record. Cause you hear the crowd and it's still like with the beat. Also, too, they don't do, like, they do full songs, but they'll take songs that they already have and blend it with another song. So it all, like, goes together and shit. Oh, beautiful.
I think, like, that is, I've slowly been getting back into hip hop and rap. And so. It's been, like, I got turned on to Empire of the Sun because Mac Miller had sampled one of their songs.
Yeah.
And same with how I got into Daft Punk. I mean, my favorite Kanye West record, he had
Graduation?
Yeah, he had sampled Daft Punk on that.
Man, have you heard the new Kanye West record?
I did. I don't want to give an opinion on it yet because it might, like, you, when I first heard Graduation, I didn't like it, but the more time that I sat with it, the more I realized it was a masterpiece.
Yeah. That's how I felt about The Life of Pablo. Like, the first time I listened to Life of Pablo, I wasn't too big on it. Now I'm like, this is the shit.
I mean, I liked his gospel record.
Jesus is King?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one. Fucking, cannot remember the name of the song. There's a really good one on there. Hold on. Follow God.
Yeah.
Follow God kicks ass on that song.
Yeah.
On that record.
It does rule. I just need to spend some more time with it. And I hate to, I need to go back to not following him on social media because, you know, every time he's putting out a new record, his social media game is brilliant, bizarre, and there's a lot of adjectives that you could give to it. I mean, I know what he's doing, and it's brilliant. He's just trying to draw attention to himself, but it's in ways that I personally probably would never do, but I mean, I definitely don't have the following or the lifestyle that he affords.
Yeah,
but it's definitely bizarre, and so that kind of skews the way that I look at the art before I've actually sat down and kind of digested it a couple of times.
Well, I think when you get to a certain level, like, you are going to lose your mind. You know,
sure.
Like, you're crazy enough to do this to begin with, even if you're just, like, starting out. Like, you have to be kind of fucking crazy to go, like, oh, this thing I made up in my mind and know how to play on guitar, maybe I can go show people this. It's like, that's a pretty wild thought. And then you give those people hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, you know, like they're going to be pretty disconnected with reality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never ask Don Henley what he fucking thinks of, like, the current state of the economy, because he don't fucking know. He's been doing cocaine and banging hookers for fucking 40 years. He has no fucking concept or idea of what a normal life is.
Now, when it comes to a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac, he does have some context.
He can write some beautiful fucking songs, you know?
Yeah. Our even our good buddy Kenny Loggins, shout out to the Danger Zone.
Fucking hit master, man.
Yeah, they really had the finger on the pulse. It's crazy. I was just going back. I think it's a predominant, probably about 65-70% of my YouTube search has just been like going back and figuring out who sung what. You know the song Sister Golden Hair?
Yeah.
By America. And right. that is one of my, I had just heard it for the first time like a couple of months ago. We had a band at Munson's, they covered it. And right when they started playing it, like right when I heard like the first line out of that song, I was like, I used to listen to that song when I was riding around with my dad, and I love that song. And you know, I caught up with them after their show was over, and I was like, I don't know the name of the song, I don't know who does it, and I started like going through some of the lyrics, and they were like, oh, Sister Golden Hair, that's by America. And I went back on the America catalog, and they had some bangers, man.
Dude, Horse with No Name,
Strangely enough, it's Ventura usually Highway. Horse with No Ventura Name. Highway. Yeah, Ventura Highway. But Horse with No Name or Smoke on the Water, that's typically one of the first songs that you'll learn how to play on a guitar.
Yeah, Smoke on the Water was the first song I ever learned. Like, that was the first guitar lesson I ever had, was Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, it was one of mine. And then I was shown some kind of scale. And then next, I think this was the time when I was all about Blink-182, and I would sit down and learn how to play Stay Together for the Kids. That was the first song that I ever learned how to 100% play all the way through.
So it was funny, the place where I took lessons at, like, there was the main guy. Well, the main guy was there for like 2 weeks, right? And I learned like Smoke on the Water, and we'd like, you know, he showed me some stuff. And then he got sick because he's an older dude. And so they had like some like goth teenager guy come in, and I learned pretty much like most of the first Papa Roach record.
Oh.
Like, I learned Scars and fucking Last Resort. What, you know? And I'm like, I didn't really want to learn this stuff, but like, you know, it was just like some fucking 17-year-old kid, and I'm like 8.
Right.
So he's like, this is what we're learning today. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Man, I've never done that because I had one guitar teacher. He was my first one, to where he was trying to, like, you know, very music theory oriented. It was all about scales, learning how to read music and doing everything like classically. And I hated that. Like, just like what you're kind of describing. I mean, a little bit different because he was in the Papa Roach, but, you know, same to that guy, come in, you know, throw a tab or whatever down, and we're about to learn this song. And, man, when I was given guitar lessons years ago, I probably wouldn't do it now. It just doesn't interest me. But I would let the student. Like, our first lesson, you know, I'd go through the guitar with you, names of strings, and, you know, I'd have a whole lot of things wrote down for you, like, things that you don't necessarily need to know by the time we meet next week, but if you'll memorize it, it's going to help you a lot in the future.
Yeah.
And, but I would always let them, you know, what do you listen to? What do you like? And I would go back. You know, I had a, I think I, she was 16, 17, so this is prime Taylor Swift, and, you know, Taylor Swift was her favorite. So, I mean, I sat down and learned some Taylor Swift songs, and, you know, she still plays guitar because her guitar teacher didn't suck, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when you're starting, like, you want to play what you want to play. Like, I mean, that's just the nature of it. Like that's why I like those classical fucking classes where it's like, no, you have to learn, like, not hot cross buns, but I mean, it's the equivalent of where it's like basic shit. Like, you know, like I remember I took classes at Archer Guitar Store, which is over in like Vestavia.
Mm-hmm.
I tried with them for a little bit, and they were always like, this is an A and this is a B. And fucking, like, I remember, like, the class that made me quit is we were learning, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things from fucking Sound of Music.
Yep, that'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, well, I was just like, fuck this. I want to play Black Sabbath. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But I will tell you, like, I had one student, he's like a phenom. I wonder what he's doing today, but, you know, I was going through. All right, so what are some songs that you would like to learn how to play? And I'll see if I can learn them, and then we'll spend some time learning it together. Cliffs of Dover, and I was like, kiss my ass. No, we're not doing that.
Right.
No, we're not.
Well, that's what I know from teaching people guitar. Like, they come out the gate, and they're like, Freebird, no, you just bought the guitar a week ago. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's be realistic. How's, you know, you said Cliffs of Dover. I was thinking more of like, so you like that style of music. How's Smoke on the Water sound to you, big guy?
Right.
Because
House of the Rising Sun. We're going to learn House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah. Okay, so Freebird, you like Lynyrd Skynyrd. How about Sweet Home Alabama? We'll teach you the chords, and then we'll teach you that cool little riff they do every now and then in it. How's that sound? We'll work our way up to Freebird.
Yeah, you can't, like, well, I mean, well, as with anything, people get, like, these unrealistic expectations, and they go, oh, I'll just jump into it. And it's like, well, I mean, not just with learning the fucking guitar, but, like people will get these expectations of where it's like, well, I just wrote a song, so now, like, I have to have a show, I just wrote a song. It's like, no, dude, you wrote one song. Like, you can't, like, It's repetition. It's about doing it over and over again. Then you get good. Then you go to open mics and you build your way up. Like, you don't, just because you did one thing doesn't mean, oh, I'm here. No.
Definitely. Yeah, man, I'm seeing that a lot. Like, you know, I've been really interested in comedy over the past few months, and just watching these brand new comics coming up and absolutely bombing or eating shit. And I know it's a totally different art form, but, you know, what they say about comedy is, you know, you're usually 10 years in before you're even accepted as a comic.
Yeah, because, even with fucking, like, music, like, there's certain people where it's like, you're not going to stick with this shit. Like, I know automatically, there's certain people, like, I meet at open mics and stuff before, I'm like, you're not us. You're not here. You're not going to stick with it. You're not going to. You don't have it in you to commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mean. And I would never say that to their face. Like, I would never dishearten anybody. Because you shouldn't. And truthfully, you're a piece of shit if you are a fucking artist of any kind, whether you're a musician, a painter, it doesn't matter. But, like, you should always fucking prop people up. Even if you think they're dog shit, prop them up. Like, be like, oh, yeah, you got it. You know, you're going to get there, whatever. Whether you believe it or not, always fucking build people up. But no, like, fucking, damn it, I had a point.
I was talking about, you know, time and how long it takes.
Yeah. No, because that's the thing, they haven't put in the time. Like, you have to eat a lot of shit, like, in order to get good. You have to play fucking VFW halls in Anniston, Alabama,
I don't miss the, I do not miss those days. Do not miss them.
Like, I mean, that's just part of it. And we've talked about it before, where it's like, don't play every show. Because,
yeah.
Like, it will dishearten you, but it will build you up, too. So it's tricky. Because there's been a lot of times I've played shows, I'm like, God damn this shit. I'm never doing this again. But, like, if you really love something, then you'll do it. Like, regardless of, you know, like, I've never made money on music. I have never, you know, I don't do it for gains. I do it for, like, you know, like, it's a compulsion. At this point, truthfully, it's probably a compulsion or a mental illness where it's just like, no, this is, I want to do this so bad, I will continue to do it regardless of my success.
You know, the reason, hell, even with this show or even with my music is, it's an out, it's a form of expression. And I think that's important, and hell, even for some people, like, you know, kind of what you were saying about not discouraging people, no matter if they're eating shit. I mean, that may be, who knows how long they've been practicing or doing whatever in their bedroom, and that may be some kind of healing for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, I would.
We've all been there too. We've all ate shit. We've all I still suck.
Yeah. Like, I was about to say. I still be eating off the. I still be eating that shit, dog.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've seen Taylor eat shit. Taylor's fucking amazing. I've seen him eat shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a such thing as having a bad night, and there's also, like, you know, back to that, you know, don't take or play every show, is there are going to be venues and rooms of people that weren't built for you and what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just that. I mean, we all are going to do it. Like, you're going to have an off night, or like you said, of where it's like, yeah, there are venues that just, like, they're not for you, especially, like, someone like me. Like, I know my act is not for everybody. It's not. Like, I'm pretty out there. So, if I eat shit in a certain room, like, also there are certain rooms that I show up to where I'm like, well, I'm going to eat shit tonight.
Yeah.
That's just part, you know what I mean? I just know. And it's not anything against the room or the place. It's just like, they expected me to come up there and do Jimmy Buffett covers, and then here I am doing what I do, and nobody asked for that. And so, like, they're not having fun, I'm not having fun, I shouldn't have played the fucking show, but here I am.
Amen. Yeah, there's the first time that I played Jackson, Mississippi, that's probably the most shit that I ever ate, man. I had planned, I was doing mostly my own songs. I had, you know, hour and a half original stuff. And I sat down, got tuned up, got ready, started playing. And dude, it was like I had suffered from amnesia. I could not remember my own words to my own songs. And I had a friend out in the audience, and thank God she was there. And I, you know, I kind of, hey, get up here real quick. And she's a musician too, and I told her, I was like, I'm not gonna be able to get through this. I'm gonna try to get about 3 or 4 more songs, and hopefully that'll be about 30 minutes, and then I need to go out to the alleyway for a little bit, and I'll come back and try it again. And that didn't help. It was just one of those nights. And it wasn't that I had too much to drink, or it wasn't like the state of mind. It's just, I was just off that night.
Yeah.
And, I haven't been back since.
I can't lie. I mean, there's certain gigs of where it's like, I bombed so hard, I'm like, I'm never fucking doing that room again. Like, it's, no.
Well, there's been times I've bombed so hard to where I was like, there is no way I'll ever be invited back to that room again.
You know what baffles me? Have you ever had one of where, like, you had the self-doubt, and so, like, the whole time you're on stage, you're like, I'm dying. I'm beating shit. And then you go off stage, and people are like, that was great. When are you coming back? And you're like, you're wanting me back? What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I swear, you never can tell. Never can. you never know. I mean, you could be playing for a room full of people that, you know, you just kind of scan the room and you're, yeah, I'm probably not the speed that they're gonna want to like.
I've walked whole rooms of where everyone in the fucking bar will get up and fucking leave. Yeah. I did that. It was so funny. I was at the Grocery Brew Hub in fucking Homewood, Alabama. And fucking, I got 20 minutes into my set. Pretty much the whole bar cleared out. Everyone was like closing their tab and leaving. And the bartender came and was like, hey, you're done. And I'm like, not till I get paid. Because they had made me a promise to pay. So I'm like, I'm going to keep playing until I get my money. So I literally, like, sat up there and kept playing until somebody bought me a fucking envelope. And then I left.
Looked in there, and it was $20 in a note that said, don't ever come back.
No, it was very apparent, don't ever come back. But I was like, no, because as soon as I get off the stage, I have no leverage. So I'm just not going to leave till you pay me.
Yeah. You like your bar being empty? I'm not going to stop until I get paid.
Right. So, yeah, I kept playing until they kicked me out.
Hell yeah, that's one way to do it. And it always sucks to where, this has happened to us on the road a few times. We were playing in towns and parts of the state that we had never been. And, like, we had absolutely no draw in these towns. Like, some of these towns, it was like the first time I'd ever been there in my life. And we get done playing a 2 or 3 hour show, and the barkeep, owner, whomever, would walk up and, like, hand us a check, and it would be, like, you know, a third or half of what we had agreed on. And, you know, what the fuck is this, dude? This ain't it. And they were like, oh, well, we thought that y'all were going to pack the place out and that more people would come. We paid y'all according to, you know, how we did. And I was like, that ain't how shit works, dude. We're not from here. I'm not responsible for running your damn social media show and getting people to come to your establishment. I was like, that wasn't part of the contract.
Right. Well, it's like we made a fucking deal. I come, I play, you give me X amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simple as.
Yeah, I'm not, it wasn't part of the contract to be like, oh, man, you sign Alan, and, man, 100 people are just going to miraculously show up. And, dude, that's not how it works.
Well, no, I mean, I've had this with bar owners and shit before where they're like, well, I didn't like what you did. This is not a subjective business. I fucking came, I did what I did, and you said you were going to pay me this amount of money. I'm sorry you didn't fucking like it, but I don't give a fuck if you liked it. I did the thing. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Like, it's like if I came and worked on your car, and it was like, hey, I'm paying you, you know, $50 to do this, and I do the thing, and you're like, yeah, you did the thing, but I didn't like how you did it. And it's like, well, is it still functional? Does it still do the exact same fucking thing? Like, I did what was asked. You owe me money.
End of the story. Well, dude, you ready to walk it out of the door?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, man, we said almost 30 minutes ago that we were leaving, and here we are, an hour and a half in. Well, man, Josh, thank you so much taking me up short notice to where we could have two episodes this week. And because, dude, work and everything's been so damn busy, I haven't even thought about stopping and trying to book people to come on, or, like, even thought about a format for a show.
Well, hey, if you ever want to talk to my dumbass, I'm always here.
That's what I know, and that's what I appreciate about you.
Closing thoughts before we go. Go listen to Taylor's new single.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And also, Mel Crosby, who's a local Birmingham rapper, just put out his new record, and it kicks ass. So go check with both of them out.
And what was that rapper's name one more time?
Mel Crosby.
Mel Crosby.
Yep.
Very cool. Yeah, man, I often forget about how vibrant and how many different genres that the city of Birmingham has, and I've been guilty of overlooking the rap and hip-hop, so good plug.
Yeah, there's a lot of very talented, very beautiful musicians in the city.
I do totally agree. You know, if I end up just letting them suspend my Alabama license, I might just hang my hat up in Mississippi and just move my ass on over there to Birmingham, dude. I'm telling you the truth.
I think it would be good for you. I think if you come over here, Zach Austin's book in Little Italy, fucking you got the open mic at the Nick, which, here's the thing, 2-3 weeks of doing the open mics, you're going to be headlining the Nick. Like, I know you can win some people over. You'll be good. Fucking, if I'm headlining the Nick, you can fucking headline the Nick.
Hell yeah. I wouldn't even, you know, it wouldn't even be about the damn music at first, man. It was just, I just want to get my ass back to Alabama. I about had all the Mississippi I want.
I don't blame it.
Yep. And, no, hey,
we got prettier girls here.
That is a fact. Anyway. All right, dude. Thank you.
All right. Love y'all. Take care. Go Force Talk.
No, babe. I'm sorry. Man can give you what you deserve. God must be real. He worked miracles on your body. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. Take it slow. Don't you know how lucky I am? Lucky I am. No, babe, don't worry. I swear I'll do the best I can. God must be real for putting me in your pride. Don't you know how lucky I am? How lucky I am. Oh, babe, oh, babe, oh, what can it be? It's you and me together. Don't you know how lucky I am?
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.